Hi there, my name is Morgan Davey.
I'm Caitlin Burley.
And I'm Amanda Lorbetsky, and we're third-year journalism students at Loyalist College.
Since the new year began, we've been doing some documentary work on issues in the Belleville area.
And in the next few minutes, you're going to hear each of our stories and why we chose them. We start with Caitlin Burley. Caitlin, tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, Amanda, I was working on a story around the St. John's Ambulance Therapy Dogs program and the importance that they play in our society in, like, Belleville.
Why is this a story you wanted to tell?
Well, I went to cover the therapy dogs when they visited Loyalist College last semester, and I was talking to one volunteer who had a really interesting story about a man that she's helping with her dog, Buffy. And I just thought it would be interesting to expand that and see how big of a role the therapy dogs play for other people.
Let's have a listen.
It's a Tuesday afternoon during exam week at Loyalist College, and students are gathering around some furry friends to de-stress. Therapy dogs first visited the college last year when student council decided something had to be done to help students cope with exam stress. The St. John's Ambulance Therapy Dogs program has been running in Belleville since 1994. There are 43 volunteers who take their dogs to local nursing homes, schools, and even the hospital. Joyce Fowler is the coordinator of the program. She's been working with the program for over 8 years, and she says therapy dogs are important because they give unconditional love.
Dogs just like to sit there and be patted, and they don't care, you know, if you're sick or if you're injured or if you're crippled or if you're Alzheimer's. It doesn't matter to dogs. They love you anyway.
Fowler says she thinks dogs help people who may have become more withdrawn. She says people may choose to talk to dogs over talking to another person.
Other forms of therapy, you know, like physical therapy, don't get me wrong, it's not that those things aren't good, but dogs, somebody will reach out and pet them, whereas they might not want to stretch out their arm to do an exercise, but they will reach out and pet a dog.
Mary Haggerty has been volunteering with her dog, Charlie Brown, for over a year now. She says she's always been involved with her three dogs from agility to obedience classes. She says she became interested in the program when Charlie retired from agility. She met the coordinator of the program while the two of them were walking their dogs in the park, and she says she knows firsthand how important it is to have someone brighten people's day.
I've been in hospital a couple of times, and I think the intriguing part for me was to break up somebody's day, make them happier, make them a little more satisfied with where they are.
Haggerty says her favorite part of volunteering with the program is seeing people's reactions as well as seeing Charlie Brown's reaction to the people.
He's such a good-natured big guy, and people just love seeing him, and no matter where we go, he's just so well received and it brings people joy.
Judy Van Leeuwen and her dog Buffy visited the college last semester. She says she usually works with seniors, but it's nice to come to the college and work with such a unique age group. Van Leeuwen says she's currently working with a man who's dying of cancer, and she says she takes Buffy to see him every other day.
I just put him next to the man on his bed, and that's all it takes.
She says when she takes Buffy in to see him, she can instantly see him relax.
Buffy's important to him right now because it's one of the last supports he's got.
Not only does the man look forward to Buffy's company at the home, he also has one last dying wish.
His biggest wish was that I'm coming to see him on a regular basis. And if I could come to the Belleville Hospital if he ended up there.
Fowler says she prefers to go to the hospital. She says because she spent 35 years working in the medical field, she's very comfortable in hospital settings. But she does like to visit children as well.
I do a reading program at the library in Trenton with my dog, and that's also great. You know, it's with children that are having difficulty learning how to read, and they read the dog, and that's so much different than visiting the elderly or the people that are ill, that it's also great.
Fowler says there's a long process when signing up to become a volunteer.
They would contact me personally or contact St. John Ambulance, who will put someone in contact with me. And then I contact them, I send them out some information in the volunteer application package, and I get them to read it through.
Fowler says the application package informs potential volunteers about the requirements for both the dogs and the handlers. She says volunteers are expected to visit preferably once a week, but once a month at the least. She says she looks for volunteers who are going to be committed to the program.
We want to make sure that they understand that it's not just a one-time thing.
Fowler says she usually does evaluations in the spring and the fall, depending on the need for volunteers.
So if they're still interested, then I put them on a list for one of our evaluations, and we do an evaluation. And then I sit with all the people that are going to be evaluated for that particular time, and we spend an hour or an hour and a half of the evening And I go through visiting rules with them, the dress, the deportment, what dogs aren't allowed to do, like jump up on people, scratch at people. And we go through the complete evaluation process with the handler. The dog is not at this meeting, of course, but so the handler knows exactly all the little scenarios that they're going to be evaluated in and what's expected of them. And then, like a month later or so, we go through the evaluation.
She says it usually takes around 3 months from the first time the potential volunteer contacts her to the end of the evaluation process. Fowler says she really enjoys seeing the reactions from people who could really use some cheering up.
The first time I took Bandit to the hospital in Belleville, or in Trenton, there was a lady in there who'd been in there at that time for 2.5 years. She had an aneurysm burst in her head. I put Bandit up on the bed, and the lady smiled, and a little tear run down her face, and she sort of reached out to pet him. And when we left the room, the activities coordinator said, "Joyce, that's the first time I've seen a lady show any emotional response in 2.5 years.
Caitlin Burley, QNET News, Belleville.
Buffy there. Buffy.
That was Caitlin Burley's documentary. Amanda Lorbetsky joins me now. Amanda, tell us a little bit about your story.
The story that I chose to tell is about the costs of raising children in Belleville, not specifically just daycare costs, but also the poverty that some parents face when choosing whether to stay at home with their children or to go back to work and put them in daycare.
Why did you choose this topic?
It started with a study that was released by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives back in November, which said that Ontario families pay some of the highest childcare costs in the country. I wanted to localize that to Belleville. It started with focusing on daycare subsidies, but as you'll soon see, it quickly grew from there.
Let's take a listen to what Amanda put together.
The Baby Bucks program is actually 15 years old this year. It's providing formula and diapers and food. We've seen thousands of parents using the program, and it's not a charity model that, you know, we're just come in and we'll give you all the formula that you need. And they do pay for it, but they're saving about 50%. So if a parent used the program for a full year, they would save about $1,200. Healthy babies make healthy children, which make healthy adults. And so if we're investing in our babies and in our children now, it's just going to cost the community less and make a healthier community in the long run. My name is Ruth Ingersoll, and I'm the Executive Director of Community Development Council of Quinte.
It's packing day at the CDC. Hampers for the Good Baby Box program are being packaged for the weekly delivery to depots around Hastings and Prince Edward counties, from Belleville to Bancroft, Trenton to Tweed. But Ingersoll says family poverty is rooted deeper than just going hungry.
When we're talking 1 in 3 children in Belleville are in poverty, so that means those families are in poverty. How many parents are, even though they are back at work, are still struggling, and now that they're paying daycare? Is that why our food insecurity level is so high? Right? You know, because they're having to pay so much for daycare and so, you know, still working that minimum wage job and trying to provide for their families.
First Adventure Child Development Center educates through play at 2 Belleville locations, on site at George Vanier Elementary School and here at 225 Bridge Street East.
I'm Debbie Milne. I'm the Executive Director of First Adventure Child Development Center, and I'm a registered early childhood educator. So at First Adventure, our infant program is $65 a day. Once the child is 18 months and transfers into the toddler program, then it drops to $45 a day, which is still significant but much more manageable for many families.
Government subsidies are available to local families who qualify, but Milne says affordability is just one of the challenges facing Belleville parents on the hunt for childcare.
The biggest issue in our community is actually not the lack of childcare subsidy, which is significant for many larger communities. Our community, the biggest challenge is a lack of licensed childcare spaces. We've had a significant reduction in infant and toddler childcare spaces over the last 5 years. So a 36% reduction in infant spaces is significant.
Part of the reason for the reduction, the closure of Loyalist College's on-campus daycare in 2012.
My name is Jennifer DeGroot, and I am professor and coordinator in the Early Childhood Education Department at Loyalist College.
She managed the center for 6 years, working with ECE students daily. DeGroot says ultimately, though, a lack of funding caused it to close its doors, making way for a $1.6 million media center instead.
the theory was demonstrated in practice right across the hall. So it was ideal. We were very, very lucky. And we were lucky. We feel very fortunate that we had what we had for as long as we had it.
DeGroote says while the ECE program lost an on-campus e-lab, students still have a wealth of placement opportunities here in Quinte. She says the program continues to push for a Canadian Universal Child Care Plan.
We've been ongoing advocates through our students and through our community partners for the rights of children to have affordable and accessible care. That's, if you are an early childhood educator, that is what part of your role is.
Back at the CDC, the Good Baby boxes are packed up and ready for delivery to depots around the region for parents in need of some extra support. Ruth Ingersoll says her organization is just one of many options for parents at a time when jobs are being cut and daycare spots are being reduced.
A struggle for a family would be, you know, do I just take this time off until they're ready for JK? Because we do have full-time kindergarten now. So do I just try to take those 3 or 4 years off? Because for me to work and pay for daycare and all the rush that that's going to make for our family and stress, is that going to be worth it? So that's a question I guess families would struggle with. But when you look at all the different scenarios of what people are struggling with, what parents would be struggling with, it's not just, I'm going to find daycare and go back to work. It's a lot deeper than that.
Amanda Lorbetsky, QNET News, Belleville.
That was Amanda Lorbetsky's documentary on the cost of childcare in Belleville. Now we'll turn it over to Morgan Davey. Morgan, what's your story about?
My story is really interesting because it takes you inside an evening at the Salvation Army's War Room. It's a place where people who either are low income or sometimes homeless can come in from the cold and have a warm meal.
And why'd you choose to work on that story?
Well, I actually volunteered at the War Room last year and got to meet some really fantastic people and was very interested in their story. This gave me an opportunity to share it with you.
Okay, let's have a listen to Morgan's story.
It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and John Graham is upstairs at the Salvation Army eating dinner.
Well, I'm classified as disabled. I have vision impairment for the last 8 years. That took me to the lowest point in my life. I was done. I went from full lifestyle to nothing in 8 hours. It was like hitting a brick wall. I was working at Ontario Power at Pickering, refurbishing the nuclear reactors there.
Then his life changed forever. He was diagnosed with Bell's palsy and could no longer work.
I just had to give up everything. You know, I had 2 homes, you know. Not a yacht, but a nice size boat, you know. You know, all the material things anybody'd want. As I sat there looking at the I wasn't looking at the walls because I wasn't looking at anything. But 4 years of that sitting in, I lost everything I'd worked for in my life.
After hitting rock bottom, living in his car and then on the streets, Graham has finally started to turn his life around.
Thank you.
He has served a hot meal and has a chance to get in from the cold January winter. The warm room welcomes anywhere from 50 to 80 people through its doors each night. Another amongst the crowd is Andrew Walters.
I have high anxiety, depression, and schizophrenia. I'm on ODSP, so that gives you a limited amount of income each month. So to go out and get food, right, it doesn't always last. I lived by myself since I was in grade 8. Place to place, couch to couch, and where I used to live, there was nothing like this to go to. I went days, weeks without food because I had no place to go to get dinner.
Walters is 26 and unable to work. He and his girlfriend Sammy Young are living in subsidized housing and are ready for a change.
I actually was pretty much raised in like low income, and I'm actually trying to get out of it. I'm on Ontario Works right now, but I do also have a job. I honestly have lived on food banks and on Ontario Works and stuff like that since I was little. And then I was realizing that I'm kind of like just following the same footsteps, and I was like, I need to get out of this. But while I am getting out of it, I need a little bit of help here and there. So,
Graham, Walters, and Young are all frequent clients at the Salvation Army's War Room, something Family Services Director Abby Mills says is common.
We have a lot of regulars who come here, and we're just part of their everyday.
Mills says more and more people are struggling to get by.
It's just getting harder to make ends meet. Wages have not increased as much as expenses. Food has gotten more expensive. Hydro gets more expensive. All of the necessities get more expensive. We've seen a significant increase in the demand on our services in the last year, and so we are stretched increasingly thin trying to get it all done.
Though the Salvation Army does have a full staff during the day, the War Room and other evening services are run almost entirely by volunteers. Cheryl Parks is one of them.
I drove by on Pinnacle one day and I saw all the people at lunchtime standing outside waiting for the doors to open. And so I asked if I could volunteer and they said sure. So I did.
In the kitchen, Parks prepares vegetables alongside fellow volunteer Gary Steyer, who says he tries to help out whenever possible.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then some whenever they need us. It's nice. It's nice. Meet a lot of nice people.
Ram says that it's people like Parks, Steyer, and Mills that keep the War Room running smoothly.
The lady that runs it, she is just run ragged. I don't even want to guess at her age, but she's pretty nice, and you know, she'll work 8 hours, and then somebody doesn't show up, she's here till the dishes are done on the door and lights are out.
Mills says that it's the clients that make it all worth it.
The people we help are regular people. They maybe have fallen on hard times, they maybe have issues that have brought them to the point where they need to come in here. But in so many ways, they're no different than anyone else, and I'm glad we can be here for them. Every day, we give people hope. They'll get through and things will be better.
Morgan Davey, QNET News, Belleville. That was Morgan Davey's story on the War Room in Belleville.
You've been listening to documentaries produced by the third-year journalism students at Loyalist College.
You can also hear our stories at qnetnews.ca. I'm Morgan Davey.
I'm Amanda Lorbetsky.
And I'm Caitlin Burley. Thanks for listening.